He asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I'm calling that today a strange and searching question. Jesus here asked a strange and searching question. He says to Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" And it is my desire today that you and I might, through this text, hear our Lord and Savior ask that same question. What do you want me to do for you? Now, Bartimaeus is not identified as Bartimaeus in this 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel. You have to go to the parallel passage in Mark chapter 10 to find him so identified, but I will be referring to him as Bartimaeus throughout the course of this message. And before we grapple with this question, this strange and searching question, we need to just remind ourselves of something of the nature of this portion of Luke's Gospel. We find our Lord Jesus Christ journeying here to Jerusalem to keep a very important appointment. The appointment was made for him, ladies and gentlemen, before the world began. It was made back there in the eternal counsels of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in covenant with one another, agreement with one another, determined that the Lord Jesus Christ should die on Calvary's cross. And the time of that death was fixed very precisely. And the Lord Jesus Christ, we find here in Luke's Gospel, is now journeying to the cross and to that appointment there outside the gates of Jerusalem. It was a very important appointment, not only because it was determined by the Godhead, but it was important, ladies and gentlemen, because through dying there on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ would indeed purchase eternal salvation for all who believe. And the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, had a determination to meet that appointment. And that determination is set forth there in Luke chapter 9, verses 51, where we're told that it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, speaking of Jesus, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus was conscious of this appointment there outside Jerusalem. And he was conscious of the time of this appointment. And when the time came for him to go to Jerusalem, Luke tells us that he steadfastly, with determination and resolve, the Lord Jesus set himself to go to Jerusalem. Now, I've often thought that this is the most fascinating journey in all of human history. It's fascinating because of those things that I've already indicated. This was an appointment set by God before the world began. It was an appointment that was intended to secure eternal life for all who believe. Fascinating. But it's also a fascinating journey for many other reasons as well. Now, one of those reasons is that on his way to Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus Christ encountered several very interesting individuals. And here we come to this man, Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was one of those individuals that the Lord Jesus Christ encountered as he was journeying on his way to Jerusalem. You remember some of the other individuals who were encountered by Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. Zacchaeus was one of those. The rich young ruler, another. But today we look at this man, Bartimaeus. What a pitiful fellow Bartimaeus was. Unable to see, he had been reduced to a life of begging. The account here does not tell us how long Bartimaeus had been, but our sense of things as we read these verses is that he had been blind for a very long time, perhaps from birth. We can well, I think, imagine Bartimaeus passing his days with a sense of helplessness and despair. But then one day, A bright ray of light broke into the gloom of Bartimaeus' life. Bartimaeus heard this multitude of people, and he began to inquire, "What's going on? What's going on?" And someone told him that Jesus of Nazareth was near. In fact, he's coming down the road, even as we speak. He'll soon be passing by. Bartimaeus had heard about this man, Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth. He had heard accounts of how this man had made lame people to walk, how this man had caused the deaf to hear, and best of all, how he had caused the blind to see. And I want you to know, my friends, that the grace of God had already begun to work in the heart of Bartimaeus before the Lord Jesus Christ ever encountered him. Because as we read this account, we get the distinct impression that Bartimaeus had come to the conviction that this Jesus of Nazareth was indeed the long-awaited Messiah. Someone says, how do we know that? Well, when Jesus finally got within distance, in hearing distance, Bartimaeus cried, not Jesus of Nazareth, but Son of David, a messianic title. And so, my friends, the clear indication is that the grace of God had begun to work in the heart of Bartimaeus, and that conviction had been born that this Jesus of Nazareth was no ordinary man, but was in fact the Messiah, the eternal Son of God. This was glorious news. Jesus of Nazareth was about to pass by. Perhaps, Bartimaeus thought, this same Jesus who has done so much for others, this same Jesus who has demonstrated His power and His compassion, perhaps He will be willing to heal me of my blindness. And so we're told here in the account that Bartimaeus began to cry. There it is in verse 38. He cried, Son of David, have mercy on me. How he cried? Urgently. Loudly, persistently, he cried. He cried until some told him to hush. They suggested that he was upsetting the decorum of the occasion. But Bartimaeus could not be hushed. Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he could not be silenced. He would not be silenced. He cried. The more they rebuked him, the more he cried. I can't help but think, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus must have smiled as he heard those cries. He did, after all, have an appointment with this man Bartimaeus as he was on his way to keep that big appointment down there at Jerusalem. He had appointments along the way. And I can even picture Jesus looking at his wristwatch as he heard those cries and saying, I see Bartimaeus is right on time. Just wanted to make sure you're all awake today. And following. Yes, Jesus must have smiled as he heard Bartimaeus cry. And then Jesus commanded that this man Bartimaeus be brought to him. And it was when Bartimaeus was before him that Jesus asked this strange and searching question. What do you want me to do for you? Now, some of you perhaps are wondering, why is this a strange question? And my answer to that, ladies and gentlemen, is this. It was a strange question because the Lord Jesus Christ was the possessor of divine knowledge. And here He is asking this question. Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, the answer should have been obvious to one who possessed divine knowledge. But Jesus still asked the question. Oh, do I need to demonstrate to you this morning that Jesus was the possessor of divine knowledge? I could do so in many ways. I think of those verses there at the close of John chapter 2. We're told that at a Passover season there in Jerusalem, that many believed in the name of Jesus when they saw the signs which He did. But Jesus did not commit Himself to them because He knew all men. And John says he had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now, I need people to testify of man. I need from time to time someone to come alongside and say, you know, your problem is you don't understand. And when I explain to you his situation and his circumstances, then you'll understand why he is the way he is. I need testimony regarding man because I don't know what's in men and women. But the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend. The hearts of men were like a blank tablet before his eyes. They were transparent before he could see everything that was there in the hearts of men. You turn a page or so there in John's Gospel, and you find the Lord Jesus there at the well in Samaria. He's encountered a woman from Samaria. He's engaged her in conversation. And as we read the conversation, we find the Lord Jesus Christ telling this woman all about herself. She hadn't told him about herself. He told her about herself. And she left the well and ran into the city and said, "Come and see a man which has told me everything that I've done." That was the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if Jesus had not possessed divine knowledge, it would have been immediately obvious that Bartimaeus was blind and that he wanted to be healed. But here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, possessor of divine knowledge, knowing that Bartimaeus was blind, knowing that Bartimaeus wanted to be healed. Here we have Jesus Christ asking the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" It's a question, my friends, that you and I have had to deal with down through the years. If God knows what we need, why do we have to ask for it? You ever wondered about that? Some people, any time a pastor deals with this matter of prayer, they say, "Well, now, wait a minute, Pastor. You tell us that God knows everything before we ask. He knows our needs. Why do we have to pray? What's the importance of prayer? What? If God already knows before we ask what we need." And my answer to that, ladies and gentlemen, is this. God in His wisdom has determined that this will be the channel through which He bestows His grace upon us. God has made this the channel. And here he asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" Because he wanted Bartimaeus to understand. And he wanted those around Bartimaeus to understand the connection between God's blessing and honest, humble asking. Now you can fuss all you want, my friends, but that's the connection God has determined. He has made a connection between his blessing and our asking. And you know the Bible stresses this thing of asking. Over there in Matthew chapter 7, in his Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus says, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find." And even back in the Old Testament, we find the Lord saying to his people, "Call. Call upon me. And I'll show you great and mighty things which you know not." And so there's this connection between God's blessing and our asking. And the Lord Jesus does not ask Bartimaeus here, "What do you want me to do for you?" in order to cure his ignorance. The Lord Jesus is not asking out of ignorance. He's asking here for Bartimaeus' sake. He wants Bartimaeus to see the connection between God's blessing and his asking. And I think he also asked this question in order to create confident expectation in Bartimaeus. This question here is not qualified in any way. The Lord Jesus doesn't say here, "Tell me what you want, and if I can, I'll do it for you if you're not asking too much." No, this question indicates that Jesus was poised and ready to meet the need of Bartimaeus. It indicated that Jesus had both the willingness and the power to do what Bartimaeus wanted done. We have here in this question, ladies and gentlemen, the question of a king who is ready to draw from his vast reservoir of riches and meet the need of a poor subject. And so Jesus asked this question in order to create confident expectation in Bartimaeus. He wanted Bartimaeus to understand the connection between blessing and asking, but he also wanted Bartimaeus to have this confident expectation. He wanted Bartimaeus to say, "He's going to do it. He's going to meet my need. All I have to do is ask, and He's going to meet my need." And so Bartimaeus, my friends, did ask. We find there in verse 41. He says, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And we read the happy sequel in verses 42 and 43. We find Jesus responded to him, "Receive your sight." And immediately he received his sight. And he followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Bartimaeus seized the moment. Here was the king standing before him, ready to draw from his vast reservoir of power and grace and meet Bartimaeus' need. All Bartimaeus had to do was ask. And he asked. And he received. Well, my friends, I've called it a strange question then, because it does seem strange that one who had this divine knowledge of Bartimaeus would ask him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I've explained to you why Jesus did this. He asked so Bartimaeus and those around him would make this connection between God's blessing and our asking. And he also asked in order to create confident expectation in Bartimaeus. It doesn't seem quite so strange now, this question. But it's still a searching question. It's a searching question. I would suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, that this question has come hurtling down through the corridor of time, and it has fallen right here into our laps this morning. In this congregation. It's a question that searches us at the point of our needs. In fact, I would suggest this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ is, in a sense, standing before that person who does not know Him as Lord and Savior. You may be an unbeliever today. You may have never embraced Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I'm telling you that in a sense, the Lord Jesus Christ is standing before you today. And He's saying to you, "What do you want me to do for you?" And He's waiting, my friends. He's ready in kingly fashion to bestow upon you forgiveness of sin. He's ready in kingly fashion to bestow upon you right standing before God. He's ready in kingly fashion to bestow upon you the gift of eternal life. He is the only one who can bestow these things. And ladies and gentlemen, these are gifts you most urgently need. Because the Bible says you must someday leave this earthly realm. And you must stand before the Holy God. And all of these things that you have valued and prized in this life are going to seem so very small on that day when you stand in the presence of God. On that day, you're going to realize that the most urgent and pressing and vital of all issues is, how can I stand here and be acceptable? How can I stand here and be uncondemned? But all my friends, it's going to be too late to ask it on that day. This is very important business. I say to you today, on the authority of this Word of God, the Bible, if you stand before God in your sins, you will not be allowed to enter into heaven If you stand before God in your sins, you'll hear those sad words, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Oh, my friends, it's crucial. It's imperative. I don't have the words to convey this to you. How vitally important it is that you receive the gift of eternal life that is offered by the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can stand before God on that great day without condemnation. So that you can say, even now, as you await that day, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ says to you today, my unbelieving friend, what do you want me to do for you? How will you answer Him? Will you say, Lord, Lord, I want to receive your salvation. I recognize I've got this important appointment, this meeting with the Holy God. I recognize that I must not stand before Him in my sins. I recognize that there's nothing that I can do to atone for my sins. Oh, Christ, I want your salvation. That's the response the Lord Jesus wants from you today if you're an unbeliever. I think the question that Jesus posed to Bartimaeus also comes to that Christian who has strayed far from the Lord. You may be that Christian this morning, my brother, my sister. You may be that, you may find yourself in that best loved of all Jesus' parables, the prodigal son. It could very well be today, my believing friend, that you're down in the far country, away from the Father, down there in the wretchedness and the ruin of rebellion against your God. I tell you, my friend, if you stay down there in the far country, you're going to come to ruin, just as the prodigal did. But oh, I've got good news for you today. The Savior who loved you enough to go to Calvary's cross and purchase your salvation. I'm talking to you, my straying brother, my straying sister. And I'm telling you that the Lord Jesus, who loved you with an eternal love, stands before you and says to you today, what do you want me to do for you? And He's awaiting your answer. And the answer you must give is this: Lord, I'm sick and tired of my straying. I'm sick of my rebellion. I'm sick of the world. And I want You today, Lord, to restore me. And all the glorious good news is this: if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's mercy for the backslider. Thank God that there is. Just as the prodigal left the far country and found an abundant welcome when he went home, so, my friend, if you today, straying from your Lord, will return from your straying, you will find an abundant welcome. The Lord Jesus says to you, straying Christian, what do you want me to do for you? And you must say, Lord, I want you to restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Well, I could go on and on. Some of you are carrying very heavy burdens these days. I'm frankly astonished as I serve as your pastor at the heaviness of some of the burdens that you share with me. I feel overwhelmed. Oh, my friend, I'm glad to be able to tell you today that you have a friend in Jesus. Now, I know we're living in a day in which the old hymns are belittled. We're told that we must not sing these old hymns anymore, because if we sing them, we shall drive people from our midst because people don't like these old hymns. Well, You just be modern and trendy if you want. I love these old hymns. I thank God for that hymn that says, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." And there's another verse that says, "Have we trials and temptations?" Many of you today would have to say yes. An abundance of them. I've got trials and temptations up to my earlobes. I feel like I'm about to go under. The old hymn says to you, "Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer." And my burden friend this morning, I'm telling you that in Jesus you have an unfailing friend. And He's standing today looking at you with your burden. And He's saying to you, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the answer He awaits is this. He wants you to say, "Lord, I want to receive Your comfort. I want to receive Your strength. I want to receive the sense of Your presence as I bear these burdens, as I carry these cares." And then I think, ladies and gentlemen, there's a sense in which the Lord Jesus Christ is addressing His church as a whole today. His church, which is so often lacking in power, lacking in spiritual vibrancy. Yes, I think that we can legitimately say the Lord Jesus Christ asked His whole church today, "What do you want me to do for you?" And oh, my friends, He wants us to cry out with the psalmist of old and say, "Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you?" Of this I'm sure, ladies and gentlemen, we'll never see revival until there is a true heart yearning for revival and a diligent asking, because God has determined that His blessings flow to us through the channel of our asking. And so this is how the question searches us today. It tells us that there's an abundance of mercy with our Lord. There's mercy for salvation. There's mercy for personal renewal. There's mercy for those of us who are carrying the burdens of life. There's mercy for the renewal of the church. That God has determined that His mercy flows to us through the channel of intense asking. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Do you long for His blessing? Then ask. 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 I thank God for the old lines that promote this thing of asking. "Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For His grace and power are such that no one can ever ask too much." What's your need today? The Lord says, "What do you want me to do for you?" What's your need? Ask, and you shall receive.